So reading from Colossians chapter 1, and today we're going to be looking at verses 9 to 14, but let me read from the beginning of the chapter. This is our second in our series of sermons during this summer on Colossians. So let me read from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving thanks to the Father, giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What do you need from God for your life this morning? Perhaps you would like to make sure that your life is a really useful one, that what you're doing has some worth and value and does something effective. Maybe you'd just like to get your head around what life is all about, where you're going, what's the meaning of life. Maybe you just want to feel as though you could just cope with everything that life is throwing at you. Maybe you'd say that really what you're looking for is happiness. Well, Paul, in these verses 9 to 14, he's actually praying, roughly, along these lines. So look at verse 10. He says, he's praying that they may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every good way. And our translation nicely has a little colon there to sort of introduce four things that he's praying for. And look, these are the things that he prays for. He says, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God at the end of verse 10. Verse 11 is being strengthened with power so that you may have endurance and patience. And then verse 12, giving joyful thanks to the Father. Fruitfulness, knowledge, perseverance and joy. They're just the kind of things that we want for our life, aren't they? Depending on what circumstance we're in, these are the kind of things that we really want. But Paul isn't just praying for us to have a better life. It's much more profound than this. Look, Paul's prayer in verse 10 is so that we may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. The four items that are listed here are not about us fulfilling things for ourselves, but they're about living for God. God wants us to be useful for him. So in verse 10, in the middle, bearing fruit in every good work. Now Jesus commanded us, if you know, to go and bear fruit that will last. And we want our lives, don't we, to count for something in his kingdom. Not to get distracted onto doing things that are less important and less useful. Not to fritter our lives away. We want our lives to bear fruit for God. And then growing in the knowledge of God at the end of verse 10. Not just knowing some facts about life, but knowledge of God. having a long, familiar, close relationship of love with him. Having a growing relationship that doesn't get stale. Circumstances can make life difficult. But circumstances don't misunderstand us. Circumstances don't have it in for us. No, sometimes dealing with people is far more difficult. Either way, don't we want to be the sort of people who are confident about the future? That we're not wondering if we're going to be able to cope, but that we have the strength to endure and to be patient through thick and thin. That however people treat us, we'll be consistent with them. And then lastly in verse 12, giving joyful thanks. And this is why we were created, really, to bring God glory. And we know that it's a great privilege. And sometimes when we're praising God, we have that sort of experience and that knowledge of just how important God is. And we love to praise him. And yet sometimes God seems so far away. And so this is a really big prayer. Look at the way Paul keeps using the word all or every. So in verse 9 he says, we ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. In verse 10 he says, please him in every way. Verse 10 as well, bearing fruit in every good work. Verse 11, being strengthened with all power. This is not just a bit of an improvement. This is everything. Paul is asking for everything for us. It's a really big prayer. And this life of living worthy for the Lord and pleasing him in every way, I think we find it's both really, really attractive and also really difficult. We know this is the life we're meant to live. We know this is how we need to live. And yet, if we're honest, sometimes thinking about living this kind of life can make us feel more bad than it does make us feel encouraged. But Paul knew it was a big prayer. He didn't think he was asking for something small. In fact, he's not stopped praying. He says he's not stopped praying. He's prayed continually. Now, last week, if you were at the Sunday evening Bible study, you'll remember that we were thinking about persistent prayer. Do you remember the story of Moses as he stood on the hill as Joshua led the Israelites fighting the Amalekites? And there was Moses, when he lifted his hands in the air, seeking God's help, then the Israelites were winning. But when he let his hands droop down, the Israelites started losing. So Aaron and Hur came and lifted up his hands for him, and the Israelites won the battle. It was impossible for them to win that without God's help. And God told Moses to write down what had happened on the top of that hill. He said, so that Joshua and the Israelites, those who were fighting in the battle and focusing on the enemy, they weren't turning around and looking and seeing what was going on this hill, so that they would know how the battle had really been won. No doubt they had lots of stories about people that they'd killed and people that they'd fought, but they'd really won by God's power. And Paul has learnt this lesson, and he's teaching it to us too, that we cannot live to please God in our own strength. I think we very easily forget this. We see that this task is so great, that this life of living for God is so hard, that we redouble our efforts and we keep going harder because I'm going to try and please him. Or we give up. Maybe sometimes we feel like we need a little bit of help to give us a kick. Do you find there's some things that you do in life that you don't actually need that much help for? Maybe you're really good at cooking, so you don't really need much help cooking. But occasionally someone will give you, an idea for a new recipe or a new ingredient you could throw in. And you think, great, thanks very much. I'll put that in, but I can do the rest myself. Maybe some of you have lessons at school that actually you find quite easy. Some of them you find easier than others, yeah? And you enjoy them a bit more. And you might have a question for the teacher and they answer it and you go, oh yeah, I get it. And then you carry on. It's not one of those ones that you struggle with, something that you kind of get. Living for God is not like that. That's not how prayer works. A little bit of help to give us a kickstart and then we're off by ourselves again. Here we go. No, this is our big prayer. Look about how much of God's help we need in verse 11. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. That's a lot of power. Think about the way he said, according to his glorious might. Now, if Donald Trump came and gave you some money from his riches, well, he might toss you a few coins. What if Donald Trump came and gave you some money according to his great riches, in line with his riches, consistent with his riches? You would be extremely wealthy after that event, wouldn't you? It would be a huge gift. And so God doesn't just strengthen us with a bit of his riches. No, Paul's praying for us to be strengthened according to his glorious might. Just think how great God's glorious might is. Well, for a start, there's only God has glorious might. God is the one of glory, isn't he? Throughout the Bible, his glory speaks of this weighty, even this fearful splendor that he has. His glory has such an effect on everyone who meets him in the Bible that they're terrified. They believe that they're about to die and they fall down on the floor. That's what his glory is like. Think of his might. He created everything with a single word. All that sin that we struggle with that binds us down, well, he defeated it when Jesus rose from the dead. God speaks and it happens. And the strength that Paul is praying for here is according to that glorious might. It's in proportion to, it's consistent with his glorious might. Don't let's approach the Christian life like we're experts who need a few tips. Don't give up on the Christian life because it's too difficult. No, we've got this big prayer to pray, to ask for God's help. So we've got a big prayer. Is the first point. Secondly, if we're going to live for God, piece of guidance to point us in the right direction. No, this is something that we're filled with. It's something that brings wisdom and understanding. It says, filled with the knowledge of his will through the wisdom and understanding. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You see, God's people have always known that if we're to live in the right way, we need to come to God for the knowledge that he gives. So this principle of being filled with knowledge and wisdom and understanding from God, from the Spirit, is nothing new. But what's new here in Colossians, or what's new in the New Testament in general, is that being filled with the knowledge of God's will is a clearer understanding of God's grace. So look in verse 6 that we looked at in more detail last week, the second half of verse 6, Paul is talking about how the gospel is bearing fruit just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. That's the thing that they've really understood. And Paul is then praying for more of it, that they be filled with it. You see, it's the knowledge of the gospel that transforms our lives. And we see this, and we'll see this many times as we look through Colossians. It's this knowledge of what God has done and what God is doing that impacts the way we live. So look at chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7. Paul says, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so that's what he's done, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So it's those who've received Christ Jesus as Lord is what enables us to live for him. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly, in verse 16, and therefore verse 17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So it's this knowledge of what God has done and who we are in him. What God's will is, that's what changes the way we live. And so this prayer is absolutely critical. If we're to live a life worthy of God that pleases him, it will be impossible if we don't know God's will. What he explains what Jesus has done. But in our passage today, two things. So this is the third point, really, split into A and B, for those of you who've got the sheets. And the first part, the plot of land with God's people, finds its fulfilment in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. The inheritance which forms the great hope that we have in God, not just living in one particular country for this life, but a heavenly, an eternal inheritance. We are already brought into this kingdom. We have an inheritance with God's holy people. And so importantly, as we think about what God's will is, that means his will is not something which is private and personal to us. It's not just about some esoteric experience or some mystical experience, but it's about being part of God's people, sharing in the inheritance of his holy people. Doing good isn't just for us to follow some ethical code, but to live it out in a community with God's people. God's will is not for me, but it's for us. And then he says, he's qualified you to share in this inheritance. If we really want to know what God's will is and that enable us to live a life for him, we need to know that he has qualified us. It's very easy to think that the Christian life is about qualifying to be one of God's people. And that's normally how you would think about qualifying for something, isn't it? So maybe you get to go on a special school trip because you've had really good behaviour, or you've not missed a single lesson for a term. Maybe you get a pay rise because you've achieved some type of target. And to qualify, we normally think you have to do something. But the life of pleasing God in these verses does not qualify us to be God's people. In fact, it's the other way around. If we want to understand God's will for our life, it's this, that he has qualified us. Paul heard about their faith in verse 9, since the day we heard about you, and then he prays for them to be filled and to follow God. And this part of God's will is very simple for us to state, that God has already qualified us to be one of his people, and so everything we do is a response to that and doesn't earn it. But it's a big prayer, isn't it? For us to be so filled with his Spirit. Light. Think of those great pictures of redemption in the Old Testament, which we were thinking about a little bit earlier. How they were redeemed from Egypt and came out in the Exodus. When they were redeemed from the exile in Babylon, the people came out of captivity and bondage and came to their inheritance. Isaiah 44 verse 22 describes it like this. I have swept away your offences like a cloud, your sins like morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. For us to share in the inheritance of God's people, for us to be qualified, we need redemption. We need the forgiveness of sins. We need everything that separates us from God gone. We might not be in exile in some other country a long way from home, but we're under a worse position. We're under the dominion of darkness, it tells us in verse 13. The darkness of life without God, the wrong thinking, the evil craving, that bondage to sin in our hearts, and we need to be rescued. We're not nearly qualified for this. We haven't managed to get attendance of 99% and just missed out on the school trip because we didn't get 100%. No, we're miles away from it. We're not nearly good enough. We come from the kingdom of darkness. And this is God's will, which we need to be prayed that we're fulfilled, that we're filled with, that we understand that we've come from this desperate darkness through this great gulf to light and life. See, the life of the Christian isn't one fumbling around trying to make ourselves good enough for God. Maybe sometimes we feel like that's our experience, but that's not God's will for our life. We don't qualify for it. He qualifies us. So we've got this big prayer, haven't we? That we might know. And these are some of the things that we end up getting stuck on. We sometimes think that living for God, that the spiritual life is optional. That we don't really have to do it. We underestimate what it has meant for us to be saved. We start to think that there's not much difference between Christians and people who are not. We start to think there's not much difference between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. We forget what God has done for us, how he's qualified us to be with his holy people. And that's when we start to think that Christian life is optional. But no, let's pray that we would know his will, understand what the purpose of the gospel is, to bring us into this kingdom now. Sometimes we might think that knowledge of God is just academic. It's just some things to learn. You see, being filled with the knowledge of God is more than just acquiring some new facts and learning some connections between different parts of the Bible. It's not long, if you read the Bible a lot and read lots of books, that you've kind of, you know, got a reasonable grasp of the facts. Clearly, the Colossians have got a reasonable grasp of the facts because they have their faith and love and hope, Paul has already said. Sometimes we've forgotten as we study the Bible just how significant it is what Jesus has done for us. Let's pray for power, not just to categorize the data we find in the Bible, but to be filled with the knowledge of his will, such that these insights affect our lives. Confidently, his prayer. He's never met the Colossians, but he knows what God's will for their life is, that they know his will and that they live a life worthy of him. Sometimes we think it's impossible to live this life. We need to ask God to open our eyes to what he's done in moving us from darkness to light, because the impossible thing has happened already. If God can free us from an evil kingdom that has a vice-like grip on us, nothing else is impossible. And so to live as Christians, we need God's power, not as some starting point that kicks us off, not as an occasional top-up to help us out, but to pray continually. Since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. And so we should pray like this for ourselves and for each other. The focus of our prayers to God should be that we grow in the knowledge of his will in the gospel and so live to please him. There's already been a demonstration of God's power in Jesus. There's already been a big change in my life. I'm not trying to engineer something in me, but to live it out. And so it's from the light of the gospel that we get the knowledge of God's will. God has qualified us to be part of his people, to share in this wonderful inheritance. We've been rescued from darkness and brought to life. And therefore, this way of living for God is open to us. We can be fruitful. We can know God. We can endure because we have his impossibly great strength. We can give joyful thanks to God because of what he's done for us. And just because his life is possible for us doesn't mean we sort of saunter in and do it. No, we need an impossible level of God's power. And don't we know that? Don't we feel that? That the power we need to live is just too big for us. And that's why Paul asks this big prayer, that we would know God's will for us in the gospel. This prayer we need to pray for ourselves, and we need to pray for each other, that we would know God's will, we'd be filled with the knowledge of it, we'd be truly wise in life, we would have great power, and we can pray for that power continually and with confidence. We can live to please God. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for what you have done for us in the gospel. Father, we thank you for how you have qualified us to share in your inheritance. Lord, that we have this great inheritance to look forward to. We have this great life even now with your people. And that we've not earned it, but you've qualified us for it because Jesus died to forgive us our sins. Lord, we thank you that you've rescued us with great power already. We've already experienced what it means for you to change us. And so, Lord, we turn to you and ask that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will, that we would understand what you have done, that we would understand the facts of it, the meaning of it. We would understand in our hearts how that affects us and how we are to live. Lord, might we pray continually for ourselves and for one another, that we might grow in our knowledge of you and live for you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue that prayer for God's power in us, let's stand and sing number 714, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Number 714.